All right, a little after two, we'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. If everyone could please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Lynn, if you could please do the roll call.
Trustee Dye?
Here.
Trustee Freckleton?
Yeah.
Trustee Howard?
Here.
Trustee Quiatek?
Here.
Trustee Lloyd?
Here.
Trustee Lubai?
Here.
Trustee Lupoli?
Here.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Any requests for public participation?
No requests.
Great. Well, we'll say more at the end, but Nellie, welcome to the board. We're so glad to have you. Look forward to working with you and just a great asset to this community and to this board, and looking forward to all the great things we'll do.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah. With that, some public hearing on policies. Rodney?
Good afternoon. We have before you policy 6.19 relating to leaves of absences, and the presidents can adopt those procedures. But as a bit of background, military leave was recently changed, updated by statute. So as such, we've revised the policy to reflect that the college is complying with Florida statutes as it relates to military leave. And that is the language revision of substance as it relates to complying with the Florida statutes. So this has been reviewed and approved by cabinet, so we bring this before you, the board, for its first reading and approval.
Can I get a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Great. Thank you.
Does anybody have an item on the consent agenda that they would like to pull or they have a conflict with? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Consent agenda passes. Informational items. Yeah, you've got some agreements in your document and surplus donations. Then I will turn it over to Dr. Labasso. Tom, if I could ask you just to, so the board is all, you know, on the same page and just so we can get it as a part of the record, I understand there's been some recent challenges with financial aid, and if you could just kind of update us on where we are and what's being done about it.
Yes, as I think I've covered in the one-on-ones, that there's a big change in the federal government and how to administer financial aid, which caused quite a bit of change in programming that we had to undertake. Unfortunately, the programming that we did not quite work well. So this has caused significant delays for some students for student loans. Certainly, it's not the service we want to provide or that students deserve, but we are, as I've kept you apprised and your support, have invested quite a bit into a consulting organization that has been working on it and is making some really good progress. We've been able to really catch up a lot, and we feel that we'll have everything resolved here in the near future. So we are working diligently on it, and we should be caught up soon, and our new system should be working as it should.
Appreciate the due diligence and all the efforts, and you obviously have the board's full support, you know, on resources or whatever might be needed.
Okay. Thank you. All right. My updates?
Yeah, please.
Okay, yes. So, again, it's a busy time of the year. It's certainly a lot happened since our last board meeting. I think I mentioned we were going to embark on a day of service for the college, which we had our first one with Habitat for Humanity. So I think we had over 30 of our 40 of our employees show up at New Smyrna Beach, including myself. I got to operate a what do you call those, air hammers, nail guns. Which was pretty good.
How'd that go, Tom?
It went well. It's a good stress reliever. But it was great. We had a really good team effort, and you know, thanks to Anaris, and I know Tanika played a big role in that. Clemens, there's Anaris. Thank you there. We had a great show, and we got significant work done on the one house, and we also participated in the standing up of the next house that they were putting up, where we got to, there was a team of our folks helping them out to put that first wall up, which was nice. So and I know Tanika and Lakeisha, who was just with us, were on the paint crew painting the other house. So it was really nice, very gratifying, and very proud of our team that showed up for that event. Spring term began, and we are in full swing. We are currently up around 11% in enrollment. So kudos to everybody involved with helping our enrollment increase. We conducted, as we always try to keep safety at the top of our mind, we had a critical incident management team tabletop exercise on suspicious packages. So we went through that exercise, which was really well done. Lou Marino is our new director of campus safety. Lou, thank you. Led that charge. Been to Tallahassee, met with our delegation and some leadership on our various legislative requests, and they were well received. They are saying it's going to be a tighter year this year up in Tallahassee. But I think, you know, our top projects still, I think, were received very well. So we'll continue to do what we need to do. And obviously, if you see our delegation out and about, you know, go Falcons. And we have supporting our program. So we also had a couple. I had a meeting with Dave Sylvester from Boeing in conjunction with Embry-Riddle to talk about how they're implementing their new facility there and how Daytona State can play a role in helping to train their workforce. And also, what's not here is yesterday I also met with the Chamber, with a company looking to relocate here that has a microbrew, a pretty big project. It's a microbrew and several restaurants on the beach side. So I was asked to come and talk to them about our hospitality beverage science program. I said, we don't do microbrew, we do hospitality beverage science, because we're an academic institution. Great meeting, and it sounds like an exciting project for Beachside there. So, again, those are just examples of the importance and, I think, the impact we have as an institution to the community in terms of economic development. So just two recent examples there. We had a very successful financial audit. Thank you, Dr. Howard, for attending. We had, a perfect audit, no findings, so it's always good to see. Our WISE program had Hyatt Brown as our guest speaker a couple weeks ago, and he did a great job. So he gave the history of the Brown & Brown organization, and so he did a good job with that. And thank Tim for doing that. Our Lemron speaker series was just last week, and this time we, you know, sometimes we bring in, you know, high-profile speakers, you know, big companies and whatnot. This time we did two alumni, Emily Schmitz and Justine Knight, who are alumni who both own businesses. Emily is the creator of Croc Pocket, if you've heard that, it's seen that online, and Justine Knight has a bakery, and I can't remember the name of it, but she's been highly successful, and both are alums of Daytona State. So they gave a great alum talk. We had a full house at the Lemron Center. Jill Simpkins and Gail Lemron were there and very pleased with the crowd and the event. So it was a very good event. Last Friday, we had a little songwriters showcase at the Husseini Center. As a fundraiser, and I think we had about 120 people come, so it was well attended. And you know, I think Bob was there, so thank you for coming. It was a really, really good show, and of course Gary was there. and you know, so Gary, thank you for helping with that as well. It was a really, really good show. They did a really good job, and what's nice was, I think, the crowd that came was different than the other crowds that come to support us. So good job, Kristen, in expanding that network of supporters for the college. So raised a little money that night. And we had a great day yesterday with our new trustee, Nellie Lupoli, and on our new trustee orientation. So we had 4+ hours. We ran over, and it was a hopefully felt it was a informative event.
It was awesome.
Yeah. So, and lastly, you all have a T-shirt in front of you, and are invited to the Women's Flag Football Inaugural Game. It's Friday, I believe, right?
Yep.
At 5:30. Tomorrow night, 5:30. This will be the first intercollegiate flag football game. Do we know? I think we're playing Pasco Hernando State College. So if you're able to come out and join, that'd be great. And that concludes my report.
Great. Thank you. Great update. Yep. With that, we'll turn our attention to finance. Marty.
Good afternoon, and welcome, Trustee Lupoli. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you. Look forward to working with you. Yesterday was a good orientation, and like Dr. Labasso said, I hope you got a lot out of the sessions. And you'll see in my report some of it should be a little bit repetitive, but it'll hopefully make more sense as we go through it.
Nellie has an accounting background, so she was very excited during Marty's presentation. Might have been the only other person excited other than Marty, but yeah, it was but a good.
Marty was excited for my excitement.
At least two in the room. Before I get started with the financial report, I did want to reiterate what Dr. Labasso just mentioned about the financial audit. We do appear to have a very clean financial audit again for the June 30th, 2024. We had the audit exit conference recently. Dr. Howard joined Dr. Labasso and some of the team. The official report's not yet released yet, so before I say too much, we'll wait on that. But the exit conference went very well. We're going to have an unmodified clean audit opinion, and no findings for however many years in a row. And I don't want to jinx us because it's been a good track record. And kudos to my team. I got my controller here, Tina Myers, and the whole group. Jim Zablowski's out there, and the whole team does a great job each year putting together the reporting package. All the documentation for the auditors, it's a massive, massive undertaking, and we don't take it lightly. And I'm proud to always be able to stand up here and say it was another clean financial audit. It's easy to say, give us the nod, but I think it's a big deal. And again, very well done by the team.
Yeah, and I'll just jump in. And like Nellie, I get excited by accounting and finance, so it's a good thing. But, I will say, because he's too modest to say it, the auditors are always just incredibly complimentary to the team in terms of speed of response, ability to answer questions, cooperative. So, on behalf of the board, you're right, that is no small feat, and we greatly appreciate the effort you and your team do to make sure that that's the end result. So thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Dr. Howard. Okay, jumping into the financial report, this is through the period January 31st, 2025, so we're 7 months through the fiscal year at this point. And at any time, if you have questions, please feel free, raise your hand, interject, or save them for the end, but glad to answer anything along the way. Okay, the first slide here shows our operating revenue budget versus actual. As you can see, we've now collected $25.1 million, or 87% of our tuition and fee revenue, $33.1 million, or 50% of our state revenue. I will mention on the state revenue, do it every year, I think, on the lottery funds, those funds aren't released until the month of February. So the month we're in is when we'll get that allocation dispersed to us from February through June. So, the 50% might look a little bit low, but it'll catch up now that the lottery kicks in. We've received $3.4 million, or 49% of our other revenue sources, and $5.3 million, or 100% of our board-approved transfers that were approved as part of the budget. And then we had a subsequent $3.5 million in October that the board approved the transfer from Fund 1 to Fund 7. So together, that's the $5.3 million. So in total, we've now collected $66.9 million, or 62% of our operational budget, which is now up to $108 million, roughly. Okay, moving forward to the expenditure, our operating expenses, budget versus actual, you can see that we've now expended $39.6 million of our personnel budget, 53%. We've obligated $21.4 million, or 76% of our current expense budget. Of that $21.4 million, we've actually expended $16.1 million, and the remaining $5.3 million is encumbered with open purchase orders. We've obligated $2.1 million of the capital outlay budget. That's 46%. Of that amount, $1.2 million is expended, and the remaining $925,000 is encumbered through January 31st. So in total, we've now obligated $63.1 million, or 58% of the overall $108 million budget through January. If you were to peel away the encumbrances, we're left with $56.9 million of true expenditures, or 53% of the budget has been expended. So this slide I show each time, it shows our starting point in our Fund 1 operating fund carryover funds. So we started the year, ended last fiscal year, started this fiscal year with the $25.5 million fund balance reserve. Of that, we have a 5% state required reserve of roughly $6 million, board designated reserve of $1.6 million, unallocated reserves of the $17.1 million. And then we had some year-end encumbrances and rollover funds of the $739,000. So our net projected fund balance through January 31st, the date of this report, would be $22.5 million, or about 24%. So a good, healthy projection as we're, you know, getting about the midway point of the year. The pie graph just delineates the makeup of that for several items of the fund balance by percentage. Okay, looking year over year at our revenue budget to actual, you can see we've now collected 62% of our budgeted revenue. At the same point in time last year, we collected 59%. So as expected, very consistent from year to year. We get our stream on a monthly basis. Like I said, lottery starts in February. Everything is a very consistent revenue stream, and we don't expect these charts to show any different. Looking at our three-year analysis of student tuition and fees, you can see we've now collected $25.1 million through the 24-25 fiscal year. At the same point last year, we were at $22.9 million. If you do the math, we're up about $2.2 million, and that's just under 10%. Dr. Labasso mentioned 11%. In spring, we are. But if you blend fall and spring, which my revenue shows through January 31st, it's a blended up about 10%. So we're in good shape. You'll recall the footnote shows that we budgeted 3% from the prior year. So we're certainly ahead of that 3% budget number. Okay, taking a look at our expenditures, this is budgeted actual year over year, similar to what we showed with the revenue. As you can see, we had expended 53% of our personnel budget versus 50% last year at the same point in time. 76% of our current expense budget is obligated versus 70% last year, and 46% of our capital outlay budget versus 48% last year. Pretty consistent on the spending side, too, as you can see. Okay, so shifting gears from Fund 1 to our Fund 7, Capital Projects, Construction, that particular fund. This very detailed slide shows all of the major funding sources in Fund 7. And taking it from the top, you got our student capital improvement fees, board-designated reserves. The board-designated reserve deferred maintenance is prior reserves that were already allocated out and approved by the board. So it's kind of a sub-account under the board-designated reserve pot. Capital outlay and debt service, PICO funding, state general revenues, and then similar CIF that was previously board approved and allocated out to maintenance and so forth. So a good summary of that busy slide is this one here. We started the year with $49.3 million roughly in fund balance reserves in Fund 7. Revenue received to date of $13.5 million. We've now obligated $40.5 million to date. Of that, $35.5 million has been expended, and we've got encumbrances of nearly $5 million outstanding. So the net fund balance per the report is $22.3 million. Of that amount, we've got 8.7 committed and 13.6 million uncommitted and available for other projects at this time. Speaking of projects, we have 21 active major projects. What major projects is for this purpose is defined as projects $250,000 or greater. So this list has continues to grow, keeping our facilities folks very busy. There's three new additions from last board meeting, and they're there at the bottom. Modernization of auto collision program took a little bit to get it off the ground, but we're heading in the right direction now. This was a state funding source, about $550,000 we got, and it's expected to be completed around June or close to there. DeLand Law Enforcement Training Center remodel, that's buildings 1 and 8 to round out what we're doing out there at the DeLand campus. Got partial funding this year, as you'll recall, 50%, and we're hopeful to get the remaining 50% this next session. And then airframe and power plant mechanics, the new facility there, again, partially funded this past budget year. Got a sizable request going forward for this current session, and hope to get funded there so that we can get into the meat of that project. But we are doing planning on both of these projects. We're allowed to do that even before we secure the remainder of the funds. And then finally, here is the completed projects completed this fiscal year, started and completed. So the one new addition is the parking lot repairs on Daytona Beach main campus. I'm sure everyone's seen the new asphalt, the lines, the striping, looks new and nice. And same at the ATC. If you've been out to that campus, it was in desperate need, and it looks fabulous. They did a nice job with the parking lot improvements. That concludes the financial report, and I'll take any questions, comments. If none, we'll move on to my informational item. This is we take every board meeting, and any payments over $50,000 for board informational items, whether ACH, check, or otherwise, it's just the larger payments. I've reviewed it like we always do, and nothing unusual on the list, just normal course of business. So that is the list for January. Okay. And my final item is our management of campus bookstore operations, ITN 25-007. We've been with Follett Higher Education Group for some time now. The last contract we entered was back in March of 2017, a 7-year contract with 3 1-year options to renew. So the 7-year term came up last year, and you'll recall we exercised our first 1-year option to renew that would take us through this June 30th of 2025. In December 24, we decided to put the bookstore services out on the market and issue this ITN and put it out there. And we got three responses back from various providers. I'm being careful here. I can't say a whole lot. We're currently in negotiations with several of the responders and want to keep the process pure. But I can say the process is going very well. We're closing in on final negotiations, and I think we're going to get over the hump here maybe as soon as next week. And at that point, we'll issue the intent to award, and there will be there's a 72-hour cooling period once we do post that intent to award. So what we're asking for here, to be fully transparent with the board, is authorization for the college to enter into formal contract negotiations and an agreement with the awarded vendor based on the following criteria. And I'll point out the last bullet there. We will certainly bring back the final negotiated contract agreement for the board to review and approve at the April meeting, since we don't have one in March. We just want to keep this process moving, knowing the transition is going to be large if we were to go with a provider other than the one that we're currently with. So
moved.
A second?
Second.
Any questions or discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
All right. Good afternoon, Board. Just two brief items today. Attachment number 14 is, as Marty said, the continuation of the DeLand Building 1, Building 8 Emergency Services Training, Remodel, and Renovation at the DeLand Campus. We went out to bid for this. We had 21 pre-qualified contractors meeting the minimum requirements for construction at risk. We received four submittals. Those were reviewed by the committee. Those submitting were Lego Construction, Hedrick Brothers Construction, DE Scorpio, and Charles Perry Partners. The committee reviewed these submittals, and the highest ranking, as you can see, was Charles Perry Partners. We are recommending the board approve the aforementioned ranking for the DeLand Building 1-8 renovation and remodel project, and also approve pre-construction fees and contracts with Charles Perry Partners in the amount of $25,000.
Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Attachment 15 is the pre-qualification and construction at risk for the Daytona Multipurpose Field. Thank you. We had 23 pre-qualified contractors meeting minimum requirements. Four did submit: WJ Construction, Scorpio Construction, DPR Construction, and Charles Perry Partners were the four submittals. The committee did meet and rank Scorpio Construction as the highest submitting contractor. We are recommending the board approve the ranking for the multipurpose field and move forward with negotiations in contract with DE Scorpio.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Have quite a few academic affairs items,
yes,
mainly major curriculum revisions. If the committee's okay with this, what I'll ask her to do is go over them one by one and ask questions on each one if you have them, and then we'll just take it all at one motion at the end, unless somebody wants to pull one at that point. So, great,
okay,
thank you.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much. We do have, as Dr. Howard noted, a number of major curriculum revisions. This is typically where we are adding or deleting or both various course content to have the curriculum better align with typically industry standard or with the standard for that particular discipline. And that is not different than what we have here today for most of these. So we have the first one that we have is for, sorry, make sure I get this right. So for the culinary arts degree, and with our culinary arts degree, we had a couple of credits that were that students were taking with keyboarding and with research strategy for college students, and not that those aren't important, but we have found that in today's society that having stronger industry relevance for the hospitality and culinary management, that we could take those two credits and repurpose those in a course in selected topics in hospitality management. And this is going to focus on culinary foundations as well as sustainability and ethics, ensuring greater alignment with the career, as we know that the restaurant industry has started to change just a little bit toward that end. Do we have any questions on that one?
No.
No? All right. The second major curriculum revision is with our electrical apprenticeship. This is the union one. And with this one, we are coming in alignment with what national standards are for union programs. We are actually removing two courses, and one of the benefits to this is that many of these apprenticeship programs are only 4 years in length. Ours has been five, and we have seen some degree of attrition toward the tail end of this, and so the electrical unions have suggested that by removing these two courses but keeping the same number of hours that the students would be employed and gaining those hours there, that they can still gain what they need for this, for becoming a journeyman eventually. So they have suggested to remove these two courses, which then brings our program in alignment with most of the rest of the nation at this point with a four-year program. So our students will actually finish a little bit faster and move on to the next part that they have. Any questions there? The next one is with HVAC. We have a chair who has paid a lot of attention to student feedback as well as to industry standards. And instead of having 15 courses that have a varying number of clock hours, She has worked with the other faculty and has aligned the curriculum into 8 courses. These courses, because they're clock hour courses, they typically run the entire length of the semester, so that would include what might be traditionally considered the exam week. So you'll see that these are 8 courses that are being offered over 8-week periods instead of several 4-week chunks. And so this is, again, more in alignment, consolidating the curriculum so that the students will benefit from that consolidation. Questions on that one? No? Okay. Moving right along. We have digital and interactive media production, this AS degree. And again, looking at some course revisions so that we can add more relevant content. We are finding that industry demands some different things today than it did originally when these courses were created. And so this is going to be more relevant and comprehensive in terms of digital media production, in terms of sound, as well as business practices for creative industries. Questions on that? Photographic technology, never to be outdone, all within the same department. They would like to also make a curricular change suggestion here for this upcoming year. This is going to integrate photography, digital media, and emerging technologies into this course. So they are changing out the professional strategies for this business practices for creative industries. So this allows a couple of different degrees to all take advantage of this same course, and then the cross-curricular content that can happen from that cross-pollination that happens when we do that. Questions there? All right, and then the final one that we have, we are introducing a course in AI, application and prompt engineering. This is in our computer science program. This course is an elective in 3 of our certificate programs and 3 of our AS programs, all in computer science. And this will teach students a little bit more about effective prompt design for AI models, and also some what works with the iterative prompts as well. So if you make a prompt and it gives you an answer and you don't quite it's not quite what you're looking for, how to then change your prompt a little bit to elicit more of the information of what you're looking for. Any questions on that one?
Thank you.
Okay.
Any one that somebody wants to pull out? No. Hearing none. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Second. Any questions or discussion? Just before you vote, I'll say on the discussion, great job, because if you look at our mission, which we always encourage us to do every meeting, it's continuous improvement and transforming lives. And it sounds like every one of these changes is based on let's make our students more relevant for the industries they serve, or let's expedite the process, which gets them, earning money faster. So greatly appreciate the work on that.
Absolutely. We have a wonderful group of faculty, and they are the brainstormers behind all of this. And we have Heather Mullins that keeps it all straight for us. So, yeah, so great team to work with us in academic affairs for sure. Thank you.
Excellent. With that, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed.
Thank you.
Last but not least, our puppeteer.
Oh, wow.
Good afternoon. This should be a relatively minor adjustment to the academic calendars that were approved last board meeting. We wanted to make sure we added to honor the military veterans and recognize Veterans Day as a college holiday. So we bring by the 2025-2026 academic calendar and the 2026-2027. No other dates are changing. So we're presenting it for your approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Tom, constituent heads.
Okay. I think you're all aware of the unfortunate situation our SGA president found herself in, and, keep your thoughts out for her, and we'll work to hopefully get those resolved. And so there's no report for student government today. We'll move on to administrative counsel and Anara Sinman.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Relatively short report on behalf of the administrators council, so I will extend it by saying this. I always look forward to board meeting days because you get to see all the wonderful hues of blue that some of us wear, but every now and then we like to switch it up. And Kristen decided to do that. And so the message of the day is be the pink in the sea of blue. So thank you, Kristen, for doing that. Like switching it up on you a little bit. So the Administrators Council, we met last month, and we welcomed a few administrators to the council. Fortunately, they had already been a part of the college family, so they have transitioned into a new role, and we welcomed them there. We also are announcing that in March, the Administrator Council positions will become available. All positions are available, so that means I will be rotating off at some point towards the end of the semester. So I see a sign for 4 more years. That's not happening. So we appreciate you getting the word out to your direct lines of report and your colleagues as well, if you're interested. Lastly, as Dr. Labasso mentioned, we congratulated the group on preparing a well-attended day of service, so much so that we announced the next day of service that will come in April. I think we're looking at April 26th, so more information will be coming out about that right after we return from spring break. So April 26th, you can plan for our next day of service. That's what I have for you today. Thank you.
Thank you, Anaris. And John Penny for Career Employees Association.
We had our chili and soup cook-off this last week, and it went amazingly. Thank you to everybody that was there. And I got to find a way to make sure I get you the information sooner so you can get your wife in there, Eric. We took in from the, with the food and the raffles, $605. And the raffle for the swag is still open. I have tickets if anybody wants to get in yet. So hopefully it'll be a little bit more. That's staying open until 3 o'clock tomorrow. We're having some, just keep popping up in my email saying we got another donation, so that's exciting to see. And then I have a statement to read that April put together for us. Statement on the merger of professional and career employee groups. We're thrilled to announce the merger of our professional and career employee groups, a strategic move aimed at enhancing our collective efforts in serving the community, the college community. This merger represents a significant step forward in our commitment to providing exceptional support and resources to students, faculty, and staff. In combining our strengths, expertise, and innovative ideas, we are confident that we can create a more cohesive and dynamic team. Our unified approach will enable us to better address the diverse needs of the college community, foster a more inclusive environment, and drive positive change. We look forward to the exciting opportunities this merger will bring and are eager to work together to achieve our shared goals. Together, we will continue to uphold our dedication to excellence and make a lasting impact on the college community. We have a meeting set up for the 14th of March to pull in both our groups and talk about this merger and start collecting names, hopefully, for a vote of officers who will run it starting in June. So thank you. Any questions? Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Great update.
Thank you. And John, is that April? Is April not here today?
No, she's not.
Okay.
She's a problem with
her
voice.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good. So for Faculty Senate, we have Paul Capps.
Good afternoon. In a similar way to the Administrative Council, Faculty Senate is currently, we are in the middle of our election for our next president, vice president, and senator at large. That election will close on Monday. We'll announce the results on next week, on Tuesday. Tuesday will be our next Faculty Senate meeting. Other topics on the agenda for the Faculty Senate meeting is we're kind of scrambling, trying to get a student nominated for our Faculty Senate Student Award, which is a $500 cash award to a student who is not only worthy, but is also one of our main goals is a student who is not receiving any other type of financial award from the foundation or any other sources. And then next month we will open up our nominations for the Faculty Senate Awards, which is Teacher of the Year and Adjunct of the Year and various awards that we award each other, pat ourselves on the back, but an opportunity to recognize our best and brightest. So those nominations will occur next month. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. That concludes the constituent reports.
Great. Thank you. Just a few things on my mind, and then we'll go around as always. So most recent in my mind, the workshop today. What a great workshop. I said at the end of the workshop, but for those that were there, but for everyone else, let me just pass on the same thanks. You know, again, if you look at our mission, we're supposed to be transforming students' lives and the communities we serve. And we saw some great examples of the board today as just some really exceptional students that were doing their thing and doing it, with great talent. And great students don't happen without great faculty and staff. And so just, the board wants to thank not just the faculty from that department, but from all departments. We don't impact students' lives without great faculty and staff, and we appreciate all you do every day to make sure we do that. I again want to welcome our newest trustee. If you look around this community and, somebody asks you to pick a person that would fit in, and I'm biased, of course, but this is a great board. We get along, we roll up our sleeves, we have a shared vision for the college, and I think we work together, very well. And Nellie's just a community leader. She has great skills, and I think she's just going to be a tremendous fit and addition to the board. So happy to have you. Thirdly, you heard Tom already mention it, but the legislative asks. I know many of us do have interactions at points in time with key legislators or with any legislator for that matter. I know we all have the material from past meetings that kind of outline our asks. If you don't, reach out to Lynn, she'll get it back to you. But if you can plug a good word, it's one thing to hear it from the college. It's another thing to hear it from people in the community and the board members when you're out and about. So whatever you can to push those would be helpful. You heard Tom mention the Boeing meeting and a joint venture, if you will, with Embry-Riddle and Daytona State, which I always recuse myself. But just wanted to, I think we are poised in a really neat spot in our community right now where the aviation, aerospace, and maybe most importantly, space, and just the importance it plays in the state of Florida in this region. And I do think there's some amazing opportunities because the two institutions are so different, but yet both focused on educating people and transforming lives. And so I'm excited to see where that leads, but I think there's some great opportunities for Daytona State in the skills that these types of industries are going to need. And I think more and more of these companies are going to be coming. So excited to see where that goes. And then finally, I just want to end with a comment on the recent men's basketball game. I wasn't at the game, but I watched a whole lot of video, and I watched it over and over from every different angle somebody could show. And, I wanted to publicly state that as a board, we support our team. I think they showed amazing restraint at the end of a challenging game. Clearly, don't interpret this wrong. I certainly, and I think the board, believe that there should be appropriate sanctions, when something happens that isn't supposed to happen. But I think those sanctions should be commensurate with the actions that took place. And, my opinion only, I'm not sure that the actions were commensurate with what took place. So, also, I'm curious about the process and just was it expedient and fair for trying to figure out what happened. So the board, the team has the board support. We leave it up to the college to figure out next steps and what to do, but I wanted to publicly comment on that. And with that, I'll turn it over to Bob.
Mr. Chairman, I'll second your feelings about the basketball team. I think we are unanimous in our support and in protest in the way this was handled. Go Falcons, and let's win on the court. That's important, and we'll talk about the courtroom later. Also want to say welcome, Nellie. So good to have you on this board. I also agree. You're a great addition to a great board. And I think you'll enjoy being on part of this collaborative group and part of a mission that is, frankly, it's just such a privilege to be on this board. And Randy Dye and I were reappointed, which is, congratulations, sir. So we made it through. So I think you were good cover for us.
Your oversight, I'm sure.
Yeah, helping us. So anyway, thanks to Governor DeSantis for seeing fit to allow us to serve with you for another term. So anyway, happy to be a part of that. And I think I've said enough. Go Falcons.
Randy?
Welcome, Nellie. I know that you're a little bit shy, and we'll get you out of your shell. So we look forward to working with you. I want to make a comment. Tom has been recently appointed to the executive committee of Team Volusia. And Team Volusia, for those of you who don't know, is the economic development organization for the county. And I think, it would be very understandable for Tom to just stay within the confines of this massive undertaking here at Daytona State, but to recognize the opportunity to be out in the community and to play that role. And as a matter of fact, as a matter of every day, we're constantly trying to be a part of what goes on in our local economy. So I'm a little biased, because I'm also the chair, incoming chair of that organization, and I look forward to working with you in that capacity. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
As far as the basketball game goes, I think I don't think it can be said too often. I was there for the whole game. I kind of reached over to Tom before the first half, and I said, if these officials don't get control of this game, there's going to be a problem. If you've competed and played in sports, you can feel it coming, and it was coming. So what's unfortunate to me is that our athletes, who I thought really responded much less aggressive than I would have, to be put in this situation is just very unfortunate. I don't know the whole process for appeals and so on, and I realize we've missed opportunities because of the suspensions that have been served and so on. What's very unfortunate to me is, had the officials done their job, we probably wouldn't be having this discussion today. So I do think that as a board, or at least as an individual member, although we're now three deep into this, we support our student athletes. I thought they conducted themselves very well. If you would see the video of the most flagrant of all the things that occurred that night, you would understand. And it's really a shame, because they've worked so hard. They came back and won the game after being down, I think, 12 at the half. And they did so just by not losing their composure. It wasn't our team who lost their composure. It was the other team. And they did so right under the noses of three officials. So I think they need to hold their head high, and they need to know that we support them. So go Falcons for sure.
Bob, you forgot. I was also reappointed.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ready? Yes, sir.
Okay. Welcome, Nellie. Good to be working with you. Getting back to the basketball game, I try to go and make all the games that I can. And it was so unfortunate, and Randy said it right. the officials were not in control. They allowed certain players to take control. And it wasn't until, you know, it came down to 1.6 seconds left in the game that you had this unfortunate incident. And the restraint by our players, you can clearly see it, and their staff. And I think, and I hope, they will use this as the impetus to go ahead and win the championship. And I'm sure they can do it. They don't need the help of any officials or whatever. They just need to stay calm and go ahead and do it. And I look forward to them raising that championship trophy as revenge. Again, it is just wonderful to sit on this board. I think it's close to 12 or 13 years for me. And I just love coming, love interacting with the president, the staff, and the students. It is a wonderful organization, and Tom, you have a dedicated crew that is there to assist you, and you make the calls, and they're all good calls, and I know we will continue in this vein and help this institution to keep growing to new heights. So again, thanks for all that you and your staff do. It's a pleasure to be here on this board. Thank you.
Kelly?
Well, I would like to echo all of my fellow trustees' comments on the basketball game. I stand with you, but I thought I'd spend my time talking about something I know a little bit more about. So I'm going to go to the arts. What a wonderful workshop. The faculty, the students, we got to see improv and musical theater numbers and ensemble dance pieces, and it just warms my heart that we're creating not just artists are around us every day, you know, and I don't want to shame like actual other art. I'm not sure what we call it, but the paintings, the painters, and the ceramics, and all the things. But they're well-rounded students. I mean, they're getting to come here and be a part of that, and be a part of this community, and be a part of this college. And so it's just, I mean, it's just yet another piece. Every time we get here and we learn something new and learn about new programming, another reason to be proud of this college and to be proud of this community. So thank you to all that helped us today learn more about the artist side of the college. I don't get excited about accounting, but I do know that a clean audit is a lot of work. So I do want to congratulate you and your team. The 11% enrollment is, you know, increase. That's huge. That's what we're trying to do here. So there's a lot of just day-to-day business that is also going extraordinarily well. And, of course, I would like to end with welcoming my dear friend Nellie to the board. This is an incredible board, and you are going to fit right in, and we are just honored to have you.
Gary.
Well, I have somebody to the right of me.
Finally.
But, Nellie, just so you know, Randy's really good at reversing the order so that you don't feel like you're having to repeat something that everybody else has already said. So, but I couldn't agree with all of you more about the basketball team, having been there right to the end. And what a comeback. But also, too, the class of Will Dunn. And I just want to recognize, Will, before you leave, I want to recognize you for your leadership as our athletic director. I know you got to run the meeting, but just want to say thank you. You know, you see things like that, and Randy, you're spot on about the officiating did not control the game. And you could see the player in particular that started the whole mess at the end. he was getting away with a lot of things throughout this game. And, yes, they ended up suspending him for four games. If it was a football game, it would have been called targeting, and a yellow flag would have come out. That's how bad it was. That was an intent to injure. But I just want to say the class of this team really showed, and I can tell you cream rises to the top, and you can't stop talent. And I believe that this team will do just that. Nelly, as everybody's welcoming you, I also want to welcome you, but also, too, I want to say there's a definite trend line. And, Randy, somehow I don't think you were a past chair of the Daytona Chamber. So we're going to have to fix that somehow. But, Lloyd, so thrilled that you also got reappointed, and Randy and Bob. It's just a thrill, you know, to work with all of you here. The course revisions, again, what Randy said earlier, the way we stay on top of things and continue to be relevant is so important, and I just can't say enough about that. So great job by the staff with those course revisions. And finally, with what we did today, okay, it was perfect timing.
It was.
Okay. Through Mike Kerb, one of his foundations, he is our presenting sponsor for the Palm Coast Songwriters Festival. But at Mike's request, we say that the Palm Coast Songwriters Festival is presented by the Mike Kerb College of Music, Entertainment, and Art at Daytona State College. On just about all of our ads, we even have some national publications that shows up on in the American Songwriter magazine, and I put the flyer there because I don't think we're meeting next month, so we won't be getting back together. But also, too, I put the flyer for our kickoffs. We're going to have a special kickoff show on April 30th to celebrate the renovations of the amphitheater at the Palm Coast campus that are going on right now. And what we're going to do is we're going to take a portion of those ticket proceeds and contribute those to the Flagler County Education Foundation for scholarships to Daytona State. So just want to put that on your radar, plus we'll probably have a ribbon cutting that night for all the amphitheater revisions as well. And in addition to that, with the festival, we always try to send a couple of our songwriters, and we'll be doing that again thanks to ICI Homes, who is our sponsor for that. We send two of our hit songwriters down here to the Performing Arts Center to speak with the students. And so what they do is they perform a few of their hits, and then they also do a Q&A with the students as well. And so we'll – in fact, one of those – songwriters is signed with Kerb Publishing up in Nashville as well. So just want to put that on your radar screen. And as Randy would say so appropriately, go Falcons.
Nellie, the floor is all yours.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for the warm welcome. Tom, it's such a pleasure to work with you, and I feel very humbled to be on a board of this caliber, and I certainly hope to rise to the occasion. But I'm really excited, as someone who's born and raised in this community, DBCC, Daytona State, has always just been a gem in our community and does so much for so many. So I feel very lucky for that opportunity. Thank you to everyone who took their time to teach me yesterday about this incredible institution. Marty, it was so fun geeking out with you. That's such a good time. What's really cool, and this happened yesterday, and it also happened today when we were at the Goddard Center, which is like the genuine passion. It like oozes from people, and that is amazing. It's so exciting. And I think this whole community is kind of like on the cusp, but, you know, we've kind of been discovered, it feels like. And so much of the good that's going on in this community, Daytona State continues to contribute to and just be a huge part of. So thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm super excited. And I do want to echo, you know, the support for the basketball team. I left when the women's game ended. Maybe I should have stayed. But I, too, believe in penalties that are commensurate with, you know, with the action, and and that should be for everyone, for all sides. And it just, you know, I just want to say that I think the team did an amazing job restraining themselves and actually trying to help and not make things worse. And they deserve credit for that. And so I definitely want to, you know, just mention my support for them. And I'm sure it was disappointing. So, and I feel disappointed as well. And go Falcons.
Thank you. Once again, a great meeting. Thanks, everyone. Look forward to the next time and look forward to seeing many of you at the kickoff charity show that Gary talked about. And with that, we'll adjourn the meeting.
I think the reason that, I didn't tell Walter the reason that he didn't mention it, because he certainly deserved it.